Hawkins Report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted, A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Did he hit the pylon? He did. Touchdown Atlanta.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's good to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. A couple of NFL things, and we're going to talk to our buddy Joe Patrick, who covers the Falcons for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He was up there today at practice, short practice, but the news that came out was Michael Penix will not play Friday.
What?
And it's driving me crazy. Before we get to Joe Patrick, a couple of things coming out of the competition committee meeting around the NFL today. One of them is something I think most football fans have said for a long time. There will no longer be a Pro Bowl game. They are doing away with it, becoming the first major U.S. league to end its all-star event. The NFL is going to focus its celebration on Pro Bowlers with no alternates. So your name to the Pro Bowl. We will be celebrating those individuals.
You get your bonus.
And you get your money.
Yeah.
But, Mike, this flag football stuff and all that, it's gotten to be nonsense.
Yeah. I haven't watched it in years. I know people just love anything to do with the NFL, but this to me was just a colossal waste of time. And it's fun because, man, they used to, man, when they had the big shoulder pads in the old days, they were getting after it in the old Honolulu Stadium and all that. And it's been devalued. You can't play football at half speed or at 75% speed. NBA has tried to tinker with theirs. NHL's found some gold with the International Series. The only all-star game worth its damn is baseball because you still got to hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
All right, more on this. Some other decisions coming out, including the NFL will now suspend players for one game for certain tackles. We'll go over that.
Oh, but let's talk, like that.
But let's talk to Joe Patrick. Joe, what's your assessment on this decision to not play Michael Penix Friday?
I'm surprised, guys. Like, I thought that, you know, the way that this was tracking, he gets into practice at the beginning of the week. He basically, you know, would have had a week to prepare himself and then to not just, like, obviously play a whole game, but to go out there for a series. It feels like that would be something that, you know, would be useful for him. But I'm very surprised in that respect. But it's been interesting to me, guys, since the news came down and then, you know, you see Adam Schefter tweet it, and then you see some of these NFL insiders, these national guys, start to give some commentary. It didn't seem to me like a lot of that commentary was really like suggesting that Michael Penix is out of the potential quarterback one competition for week one. And I followed up with Kevin Stefanski to ask him, you know, if Michael isn't able to play or is not going to play in this game, does that basically mean that Tua is going to be your week one starter? And he didn't want to go so far as to say, yes, he was. So it's very interesting in that respect, whether is it wise to play Michael Penix potentially in week one, having not played, you know, preseason. That's, you know, a decision for the coaching staff. But to answer your question, Carl, I'm definitely surprised that he's not going to play any part in this one.
Me too.
Yeah, and it's a little, it's disappointing for the fans because all we've seen is Tua look bad and Jack Strand look good. Cooper Rush looked good as
Frost.
Well. Now, yeah. I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I don't know if Steak put words in your mouth, but I heard Steak talking to Xander with Steve Weiss today, and they were relaying that you thought, you know, maybe there's certainly a vibe that the players are behind Michael Penix Jr., and maybe they're not connecting with Tua?
Well, no, I just think that, like, they have more experience with Michael Penix. Like, these playmakers have been with Mike for 3 years, and, you know, this is going on the third year now, and they've been through ups and downs with him. They've been through way more reps with him than they would have with Tua. And, you know, and I will also say that, you know, when Kirk Cousins came in, he was doing everything he possibly could to try to get on the same page with his guys. You know, he coordinated a trip to go down and see John Gruden in his offices and was, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't know that same kind of level has been there in trying to get that time on task, as Kirk might say. So I'm not suggesting that, like, the guys don't like one of the quarterbacks or they do like one of them more. I'm just saying that it's just true, factually, that they just have spent more time and have a better understanding with, you know, one of these guys than the other, who is obviously newer to the team. But I will say, you know, like, Tua has looked poor in some of these, I call them, like, public appearances that he's had, whether it's these preseason games or whatever. I would say even at Lanier, you know, there was, like, an ugly fumbled handoff between he and Bijan, but it hasn't all been bad. I think it's getting a little bit overblown because just some of the worst stuff has happened in some of these, you know, more public moments. But like, he had a great day today. And I kind of continue to joke, guys, that like, I think the best quarterback situation for this team is a joke, but like, it's to have Penix play until you get to the 20-yard line. And then you put Penix and you, then you put Tua in the red zone and you let him use his little ability to layer those balls in and that accuracy. So that might be the best option. But that's like, you know, you're building a robot quarterback at that point. It'll be interesting to see how they end up meshing with Tua.
Yeah, this is why I love you, Joe, though. This is what you, fair and balanced reporting. Did you? Because you just said that something very important. Like, he's had good days. That's been lost in this conversation. Right. It's all
100%.
It's been lost. And so, like, the Falcons don't think he's a bum. Has he mastered this offense? That I don't know. But I will tell you what I'm hearing. You tell me what you think. That has been one of the deals with both of these guys, taking in a new offense. And look, when you have full confidence in what you're doing, you play differently, right? And so I think that part of it for Tua has been the growing pains that Alex Van Pelt has been talking about, and even I think Tommy Rees. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I would even go back, when you talk about that confidence aspect, you go back to that Denver Broncos preseason game, and you know, he's got Ethan Onyanwa starting at right tackle in that game. And then by the second drive, Jake Matthews got a little dinged up, so he comes out, and you've basically got two backup tackles at that point. And, you know, it's understandable, and it's not to say that it was acceptable, the performance that was out there, because certainly, you know, not catching a shotgun snap is nobody's fault but Tua's, but you can certainly understand why maybe the clock is sped up in that instance, and you're just trying to kind of survive at that point. So, it hasn't all been bad from Tua. I will say this, though, Carl, again, to kind of go back to some of these national reporters, they do suggest that, like, he hasn't really shown enough to this point.
I agree.
Like, if he had gone out there and played well enough, he would have had the job by now.
I agree. Look, the fact that coach hasn't named who the starter is, everybody else in the NFL has. Everybody
but
else.
I also missed the first week of practice with his back issue. That's what a lot of people in the national narrative keep forgetting.
Mike, that's a really good point, and it's something that I've kind of been thinking about a little bit more, which is that, it seemed like unsuspected. You know, like he came in and it was a bit of a surprise, and you just wonder how much that kind of set back, what the coaches had planned for those opening practices, the opening week. He just frankly wasn't able to do a whole lot. In fact, what we were talking about during that time was that Penix was actually doing more for a while early in training camp, even though Penix wasn't participating in the 11-on-11 stuff. Right. You know, he was able to throw the football around a lot more in the 7-on-7s and give the receivers some of the better work than what Tua was able to do because he came in with that injury. So I do wonder also if that set him back to the point where it did make this more of a competition maybe than the coaching staff and Kevin Stefanski would have thought it would have been coming into it.
Smoking Joe Patrick with our Falcons Camp Confidential here on Dukes and Bell. All right, so we you just said don't be surprised. Maybe Penix can still start week one. We'll wait and see. What are we going to do with Jack Strand?
I think you have to roster him on the 53-man roster. And it's not to say that, like, if you don't do it, then he's definitely going to get snapped up. But if you don't do it, I know Sean Payton's going to be looking at him being like, how can I make room to pick this guy up so that I can just burn the Falcons because I feel like it one more time? No, but I mean, I think with what he's shown, he's obviously shown enough to become a commodity around the league. And I think it would just kind of be embarrassing for the Falcons to, you know, make the move, the gamble to let him, you know, to waive him and then try to get him back on the practice squad only for that to happen. And then it would be even more embarrassing if he goes on to, you know, achieve something in the NFL. And I think that, you know, speaking of achieving things, like we're kind of jokes, he's from this small school and obviously there's this other quarterback competition that's happening that he's not really a part of and isn't going to immediately have any playing time, but you know, I wouldn't put it past him developing into somebody who could potentially be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he's got a lot of the measurables. I think the reason why he slipped through the cracks a little bit was obviously just because of where he played and the lack of tape that was out there of him and the scouting knowledge. And so now more of that's getting out because he's playing, on the biggest stage and he's proving to not really be too affected by the NFL level. For somebody coming from a school as small as his and then to adapt as well as he is to this new environment at this professional level says a lot about the work that he's put in,
And I think that there's a ceiling that I don't know where it is, actually, guys, because he's got the ability to run. He's got speed. He's got size. He's got the throwing power. And he just feels like he's got some natural comfort back there in the pocket.
I agree. It is our buddy Joe Patrick. He's been at all of these Falcon practices. Today, the announcement by Kevin Stefanski is Penix will not play on Friday. So we're examining that and talking about it because I want to ask you this, and maybe it's you know a little bit unfair, but I have to ask from the standpoint of how much confidence will you have knowing that we will not have seen him since the last time he walked off the field and was injured last year, and more than likely it will be a real game when we finally get a chance to see Penix, and that you have the confidence that he's going to be just fine. Because I think a lot of fans feel that way that are in support of Michael Penix, just like brushing this off and being like, hey, Joe, you know what? He'll start week four and he'll throw four touchdowns. He might, but he might not.
Right, exactly. And that's why, you know, regardless of whether he's going to be in contention for the week one starter, it's why I would want him to have played at least some snaps just to kind of get that feeling for whenever he does play. So I think we all understand he's going to play at some point. I would also suggest, Carl, you know, it's the terrible nature of this injury that he suffered last year, which is going to just always, there's always going to be this specter of it happening again, you know? And I think that for him, even when he goes into his career, whether it's a second contract with the Falcons or somebody else, I think that like that's going to be held over him a little bit, and he's going to have to play a long period of time without injuries before I think teams will maybe get over the risk of that. Because if you're going to pay a quarterback $50 million, you better make sure that they're going to be available for you every single week. And if they suffer, you know, a long-term injury like Penix has a history of having, then that's going to tank your entire organization. So it's unfortunate for him. And I think it's just something that he's going to have to deal with. And it's going to make things a little bit trickier for him and how he navigates his career.
And they didn't draft him. This is a different organization now, the way it's put together. Last thing for our man, Smoking Joe Patrick, with our Falcon Camp Confidential, Za'Darius Smith. He had to walk away from football. He explained very open personally about his life with his mom, her health issues, and how he was out there and then just hated being retired and now loves being back with the guys. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the kind of Calais Campbell vibe that he brought a couple years ago.
Yeah, definitely seemed to have that kind of veteran presence of him, like coming into a situation where he is kind of looked at as the leader and somebody who can share some of his experience with some of the younger guys. So you hope that he can do that. But I would recommend to anybody listening, at some point, go to Falcons YouTube and check out his press conference, because there's no way anybody can do it justice other than hearing it for yourself, because of how open he was. And, you know, he broke down like a couple times, just like, you know, had to take a second to collect himself because of how emotional it all was. But I think he's just really happy to be back playing football.
I agree. Joe Patrick, great work, man. As always, follow him on social media and stay up with what's going on, man. And we will talk, obviously, leading up or after this game on Friday and seeing where this is as we get ready for the regular season. Can't wait for the regular season, Joe. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.